We continue to try to figure out how to work through fantasy football with all the injuries that happened back in week two. The waiver wire period is now through. Everyone has spent all of their budgets on guys they had to Google this week. So now what do you do with these new toys that you have? Here to help us with that and so much more in the world of fantasy football from Establish the Run, it is Adam Levitan. Adam, how are you today?
Hey, I'm doing well. How's it going?
Doing well. I'm worried that just talking about the NFL means that both of us are going to tear our ACLs at some point here in the next 48 hours. But aside from that, doing all right. I guess, first of all, as we look at just an absolute rash of injuries that we had in the NFL last week, well, which one to you has the biggest impact on fantasy football as we go along?
Yeah, I think the obvious one is Christian McCaffrey. I mean, you know, so far head and shoulders above every other fantasy player due to the role and his skill set. So, yeah, I mean, it looks like he's going to miss 4 to 6 weeks, and he says maybe he can get back sooner than that. But this ankle sprain, high ankle sprain, is the type of stuff that lingers. But it is interesting because, you know, how do you value a Mike Davis who might only have the job for 3 or 4 weeks? But is definitely a good player, can definitely catch the football, is definitely in an offense which is conducive to running back stats because Teddy Bridgewater is among the shortest throwers in the league and also their defense is among the worst in the league. But I think Teddy Bridgewater can be effective in kind of these comeback modes. So it's a different, difficult situation, I think, to exactly value Mike Davis other than saying for the foreseeable future he's going to be an important part of fantasy teams.
Right. And in one of my leagues, someone spent literally 100 of their 100 fab dollars on Mike Davis. And it's like, cool. You know, like this isn't a video game where he just gets to transfer his skills over. Like they are different people. So how do you envision using a Mike Davis from a fantasy perspective going into week three?
Sure. So the running back position is going to be most replaceable, right? And that's why when you suffer wide receiver injuries, you go to their replacement, and like, you know, when you replace, I don't know, DeAndre Hopkins with Keyshawn Johnson or something like that, you know, he's not even startable. But when you replace Christian McCaffrey with Mike Davis, well, he's very, very startable. And so running back stats are going to translate much, much, much better than any other position. And I understand that Christian McCaffrey is an outlier, but I could certainly see Mike Davis giving you 70% of what Christian McCaffrey was able to give you, assuming that he has the same role. And that's not a lock, but I think that he will. You know, they do have Reggie Bonifant coming up from the practice squad. They do have Trent Cannon on the team. But I do think that for the most part, it's going to be the Mike Davis show. This new Joe Brady regime, I think, likes him a lot more than the previous Ron Rivera regime did. So, yeah, I think you can have pretty high expectations for Mike Davis.
Another running back situation that gets thrown off course was Saquon Barkley and the New York Giants. Barkley is done for the year. Devonta Freeman gets signed by the Giants. There's some Deion Lewis buzz, little itty bit of Wayne Gallman buzz in there as well. Is there anyone in this Giants backfield that you can trust? I'm imagining you're going to get pretty good prices in DFS, but are there any of these guys that you're looking at for week three?
Yeah, I think the only one that interests me a little bit would be Deion Lewis, just because he can play kind of that James White role. He can be the pass catcher, and those are the kind of running backs that I want to use in fantasy. I think there's major questions about how much Devonta Freeman has left in the tank after not signing with a team at all after last year and just signing this week. And also, I think there's questions about Wayne Gallman in the pass game. I mean, I think the Giants might consider Wayne Gallman their best pure runner, which might be true, but they don't trust him in pass protection. They don't trust him to catch the football. So I think that leaves a reasonable avenue for Deion Lewis, and he would be the only one that I'd be remotely excited about, but I'm not really excited about any of them at all. I mean, we've seen how badly Saquon Barkley just struggled to rush the football in this scheme. All of his value was tied up in pass catching, or most of it, and I think that's where Deion Lewis excels. So, yeah, Deion Lewis would be the guy for me.
A couple guys who people were hot and bothered about going into last week, Nyheim Hines and Benny Snell. Don't see much, if anything, from them in week two. As we go through what was an injury apocalypse in that second week and now into week three, are either of those guys players that you are trusting going forward, or are they kind of out of your life fantasy-wise now?
Yeah, we can start with Pittsburgh. I mean, throughout the entire Mike Tomlin tenure, they have not done RBVC. They have not done running back by committee. And And they've been staunch about that, even as the league has completely changed and where almost every team is doing RBVC now. The Pittsburgh Steelers do not want to do that. And so we saw it last week, even though James Conner struggled in week one, they want James Conner to be the man. He out-touches Benny Snell 18-4. I think as long as James Conner plays reasonably well and stays healthy and doesn't fumble, doesn't yell at the coaches like he did in week one, it's going to be his backfield. You can't use Benny Snell. The Colts situation is going to be more game flow dependent. And, you know, this is where it's hard. You know, this week, obviously, they're home against the Jets. We don't think that they're going to need Nyheim Hines' skill set very much. It'll be much like last week where Jonathan Taylor gets all the work. But in games where it's going to be closer, maybe the Colts fall behind, then you have situations where Nyheim Hines could just play a ton. And with the rate that Phillip Rivers throws to running backs, which is among league high rates, well, then you really have something with Nyheim Hines. So, yeah, I was surprised they didn't use Nyheim Hines more, even in a positive game script last week. But, you know, there's going to be Nyheim Hines days. There's going to be Jonathan Taylor days. Week three certainly looks like it should be a Jonathan Taylor day, but we'll see going forward. I certainly wouldn't want to cut Nyheim Hines. I'd want to save him and use him in more negative game scripts for the Colts.
Another story coming out of last week, the Tyrod Taylor situation is strange and weird and like nothing we have seen before. But out of it comes a pretty impressive Justin Herbert performance. Anthony Lynn announcing what I think a lot of people were expecting just a few moments ago, saying that Justin Herbert will be the starter in week three for the Los Angeles Chargers. Is he someone that you maybe have an eye on? Another one where in daily fantasy probably comes with a pretty cheap price. And is that an elevation for some of the weapons around him, the Keenan Allens and Austin Ecklers of the world?
Yeah, I mean, certainly in week one, Tyrod looked like he did not have it. Like he just was not it. And Justin Herbert looked better. I mean, way better. And Justin Herbert was a big boon to Austin Ekeler because he's able to throw the ball to running backs at a better rate and at a better efficiency. So, yeah, I think it's better for Mike Williams. I think it's better for Keenan Allen. I think it's better for Austin Ekeler. In terms of using Justin Herbert himself in fantasy, I could see it in super deep formats. I could see it in DFS where he's cheap. He's actually not that cheap on DraftKings this week for whatever reason, but in spots in other platforms where maybe he's cheaper, I could see it. He is playing Carolina this week, which will probably be the best matchup that he'll see all season. So yeah, you know, I thought Justin Herbert looked more than good enough to elevate the teammates a little bit. And whereas we were super low on Keenan and Mike Williams and Hunter Henry coming into the year, mainly because we thought Tyrod would really struggle, now I think the script has changed a little bit.
Chatting with Adam Levitan from Establish the Run here on the Big Show, Sportsnet 960 The Fan. A number of takeaways from that Falcons-Cowboys absolute wild game out in Dallas, but one that kind of caught me, I always thought if Todd Gurley was going to have a rough go, injuries were going to be the problem. And then I see in a game where presumably he's healthy, Ito Smith getting goal line carries. Is Todd Gurley someone you're just kind of avoiding now?
Yeah, I mean, I was never on Todd Gurley this year at all. And I think we've seen this with Atlanta, you know, like even when Devontae Freeman was healthy and playing really well, they still only gave him 60% or so of the running back touches. And they're well aware of the arthritic condition in Todd Gurley's knee. So not a surprise at all to see Brian Hill out there, to see Ito Smith out there plenty. I think a little bit of a surprise that they haven't thrown to Todd Gurley more because he can do that and catch the football very well. I think that's been pretty disappointing. But given the rate at which they're throwing to Russell Gage and they're throwing to Hayden Hurst, and obviously Calvin Ridley is breaking out and they still have Julio there, there's just not that many targets left for the running backs. So yeah, it's a tough spot for Todd Gurley. I would hope that people didn't take him, you know, in the third round or so of their draft, because I think, you know, even before the year, it's not hindsight. I mean, that was, you know, pretty rough pick.
Another running back situation that interests me is the one out in Baltimore. They get the kid from Ohio State, J.K. Dobbins. Mark Ingram is still there. Gus Edwards is now popping up into this running back situation. A couple weeks in, where are you at on the Baltimore runners?
Yeah, I think kind of as expected. Maybe they're using Gus Edwards a little bit more than we expected, but when you have the threat of Lamar Jackson inside the 10-yard line, and then you also have Ingram, and then you also have Dobbins, and then you also have Gus Edwards now, it's just really hard on a week-to-week basis to trust any of them. But you saw in week one, what can happen. I mean, J.K. Dobbins ran into, I think, just some variance and some luck, and he got 2 touchdowns, and he had a big day, and you needed him in fantasy and DFS to win. it's going to be extremely hard to predict. I mean, predicting touchdowns out of running back committees is an almost impossible task. So, yeah, I would hope that people have better options for now and hope that the situation sorts itself out at some point, as running back situations often do.
From Monday night, the New Orleans Saints did not look overly impressive in a loss against the Las Vegas Raiders. A lot of concerns about Drew Brees. He's without his number one target, Michael Thomas, in that game. But how worried are you with what you saw from Drew Brees?
Yeah, I don't think it's anything too new. I know it got highlighted a lot on Monday night, but he's just been like throwing so short for the last few years. That's just what he does. I mean, he racks up like an 80% completion percentage by never pushing the ball more than 5 yards down the field. So that was nothing new to me. I thought what was new was kind of some inaccuracy that he had in that game, which we don't normally see from Drew Brees. And maybe some of that's been mitigated or covered up by Michael Thomas. But still, I mean, I think Drew Brees maybe just had a bad day with accuracy and will be fine. But yeah, I mean, Drew Brees is not going to be a great fantasy quarterback. We knew that before the year because he's not going to push the ball down the field, and Taysom Hill is going to steal some stuff, and Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara, his two primary targets, they're going to have extremely low ADOTs. So the guys that I want in PPR, are Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara, because they're racking up 8 catches on 8 targets, and that's extremely, extremely valuable. It's just hard for Drew Brees at that rate to have huge games. So yeah, I don't think anything new on Drew Brees, but it seems to be coming more to the forefront now about kind of the way Drew Brees has been playing for the last couple of years.
As we've talked about, we're now getting ready for week 3 in the NFL. We have a couple games worth of a sample size to see what these teams kind of are. Is that enough for you to see some, I guess, changes in perception? Like, is there a team or two that's like, okay, this is a better matchup that we can exploit, or maybe this isn't as good of a matchup that we can exploit, or does the off-season scouting still play into it going into week 3?
Yeah, and that's the thing about football. Everything is going to be extremely small sample. And if you say, well, 2 games is too small of a sample, 3 is too small of a sample, 4 or 5, well, next thing you know, the season's like halfway over, So I think you need to be quicker in NFL and be willing to say, we don't know for sure. It is too small of a sample, but I'm still going to make some conclusions. And yeah, I mean, there's certainly been big changes that we've seen in terms of play calling and personnel. And with the Bills, number one, I mean, God, the Bills are going 4 wide. They're using a more quick-hitting passing attack. Josh Allen is playing out of his mind. And then with the Seahawks also, I mean, they went from the least from the team, lowest passing over expectation rate to second this year, behind only the Bills in passing rate over expectation. So, I mean, I think that stuff is here to stay. I think on the defensive side of the ball, people last year just wanted to play tight ends against the Cardinals every week, and I think they've done a lot to shore that up from personnel and scheme perspective. And I've seen the Eagles just get buried by tight ends in back-to-back weeks, and given their personnel and how much money they've spent, or lack of money they've spent, and draft capital at the linebacker position, I think that makes sense. So I think using tight ends against the Eagles is going to be more of a thing this year than maybe tight ends against the Cardinals are.
Adam, awesome stuff, man. Always enjoy our conversations. Where can people find your work?
Yeah, just head to Twitter. My name, LEVITAN, Adam, all one word, and then establish the run.
Awesome stuff, man. We'll do this again soon. Thanks for doing it today.
All right. Good luck.